This week on the Time Bat Show.
Why do raven corpses keep showing up in my driveway? I've seen three in the last week. Yikes. Is this a bad omen?
It means you're about to get the plague, man. You're about to get really sick.
Oh, that sounds really bad. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode 106, I think. I'm your host, Time Aces.
And I'm your host, Bat Snacks.
I've lost track of the show count at this point. I think it's 106. I'll have to go back and check. How are you doing today, Bat Snacks?
I'm okay. Speaking of the show count that we're on, do you know that we have a podcast that has 106 episodes?
I remember it every time we do.
Do you know that episode?
I don't tell people in life I have a podcast because it brings me shame.
Neither do I. Yeah, I'm ashamed of it.
Like, my family knows, but nobody else does. So, like, I was eating dinner with one of my friends who was like, he's moving away. He already moved away, but he was moving away at this point. This is like a month ago. And he was like talking, and my wife was there, and his girlfriend was there, and we're all talking, and like, somehow podcasts was brought up in the conversation, and my wife stupidly says, "Oh, Chris has a podcast." And they're like,
dang it.
And they're like, "What? What do you mean you have a podcast?" And I was like, "I mean, it's nothing. It's fine." And like, I tried to change the subject, and like, they were like, "No, I want to know more about this." So like, I told them the name of it, and
big mistake, dude.
Well, and then I get a message the day after, and he was like, "Holy shit, you have 105 episodes," or however many it was. And I was like, "Yep."
We've been doing it for like years. Do you realize that?
But the funny thing is, I feel like people expect me, if I have a podcast, quote unquote, like maybe I have 6 episodes. You know, like,
yeah,
it's a thing I'm just trying out. You know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. What they do not expect is for me to be like, "Yeah, we're on episode 153 now." And it's like, what? You know, I think.
Yeah. I recently was at work, and I told you I was setting up mics in it, and I accidentally blurted out that I had a podcast, and that's how I know how to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were like, "Oh, cool. Like, you know, how many episodes do you have?" I was like, "Oh, you know, 100 or so." And they're like, "What? Wait, what? You?
You did 100 of these?"
They wanted to know what it was. I wouldn't tell them. I was like, "No, I use a pseudonym. I don't like to promote my podcast."
We have like 5 people that listen, but we're really dedicated to them. Whoever you're listening today, whoever it is, we love you.
I love you so much. But no, like, most podcasts, like, when people try to talk to you about podcasts after they learn you have one, they're like, mm-hmm. "Oh, I heard about this podcast where my uncle was telling me this. There's one where hairdressers talk about like weird stories that people told them while they were getting haircuts."
Cool.
Yeah, I was like, "That sounds cool. We don't have a theme."
We just talk to each other for an hour and a half, and then we're like, "Hey, here we go. That was an episode."
There it goes. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes I do really bad.
We do really bad. Okay, no. We do it together. I don't know. I don't promote it still to this day. It's 2 years, and it's like weird. I feel like we've reached the point of no return though, where it's like, if we're still under 20 episodes, I would feel okay promoting it to be like random people. You'd be like, "Hey, yeah, I got a podcast. You should check it out." But now that we're already past episode 100, promoting it feels really weird because it's like, why haven't you mentioned this to me before? You know what I mean?
This is
like,
years of your
you've
life.
Been doing this for 2 years and you haven't said anything. You know what I mean? So now it's like, oh, it's too late now to tell people.
Should we like just reset the counter? Just
no,
be like,
no.
Change the name and go back to episode 1.
What would the new name be?
Because
remember when we first started, we were like, "I don't know what the name is." And then we came up with a Time Bat Show. What would be the new? Let's hash it out really fast.
We've never thought about this. Okay, so like a good podcast name lets you know what the show is about.
And ours doesn't do that in any way. Yes, so it would be like, I don't know. A lot of podcasts have really dumb names though.
My sister had a really great idea for us. She said we should call it Good Morning with Chris and Ryan.
See, I like that. Good Morning.
Cause
the problem with that is that it's not in the morning, but it is a good catchphrase.
Yeah.
Good morning. And then, like, people can wake up to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we can start every show with, good morning, everyone.
Chris and Ryan, we're recording at night, but it's for you, for you
in the morning. And the intention is we record it Thursday night, and you're supposed to listen to it on your way into work Friday morning. You know, and that could be our theme. And, like, we probably would need to make it more joyful and less depressing if we did that.
Less, like, existential angst. Yes. Little
and more like, life is going to be great. You're going to have a great day today. Happy Friday, everyone. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Yeah. Good morning is a good name.
I just can't, like, I can't be happy like that all the time, though.
It takes a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I get mad at people that are happy too much.
Yeah, me too.
Does that happen to you? Like, I feel bad about it. No, I don't get mad. I just get, like, annoyed. Like, look at that motherfucker being all happy about something stupid.
You do this thing. I don't know if you know you do this, but if someone is, like, really, really happy, like, sometimes you'll be like, oh, you're so happy. Like, you want them to, like, justify it. Like, come on. Explain yourself. What do you have to say for this?
I do that. When people tell me, like, oh, I'm having a great day, I'm like, why? What's there to be happy about?
You get, like, really, like, inquisitive, like, you are? Really? Like, disbelief combined with, like...
If people are having fun, I, like, want to know why so that I could try to reproduce that for myself. That sounds really depressing, but it's true.
No, it's like... If you know you, it's, like, kind of funny, though.
It's like, you're happy? Okay, tell me your secret. How did you do that?
You do it in a funny way, though. I like it.
Yeah, I do that. I've asked you that before. Like, why are you happy?
Oh, you're doing good, are you?
You're doing good. Oh, yeah, why? What's there to be happy about in this world?
And if I give you, like, a reason you think is bad, like, oh, you know, I went outside today on a walk. You're like, really? That was fun, was it?
Like that's it? That's all it took, huh? That sounds dumb. That sounds like me. It's like just a walk. Like, I think you told me a story where you're like, oh, I had a nice lunch and then I, like, slept late or something. Like, slept in, and I was like, that's it? That's all you did? Like, what, that was made you happy? Like, what?
You don't get to feel happy for that.
Like, you didn't do anything. There was this comic I was reading. Well, it wasn't a comic. It was, like, a tweet of a comic panel or whatever. And I was like, it was a pun. So it was like, you know, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, blah, blah, blah. You know, yeah. That whole thing. And Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall in the rhyme. Well, in the comic, it made it like a pun. So it was like, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And then it showed Humpty Dumpty doing fun fall stuff. You know what I mean?
Like raking leaves.
Like, he had a great fall. Like, he had a great time at fall. Yeah. But all the things he was doing, I was like, these aren't fun things. Like, what does he do? Like, what does he do? Like, he took a stroll in one. In another one, he was reading a book. In another one, he was, like, cuddled under a blanket. Nobody was there, just him. And then in the last one, he was, like, eating something. And I was like, you're alone, like, in your house, like, just chilling. Like, I do that every day. I'm not having a great fall. Like, just because of that. Like, I got mad at Humpty Dumpty in that situation. I was like,
how
dare he have a great time doing simple, inane things? But I digress. It was a funny comic, though. Sometimes I wish that I could enjoy stuff better, but no, it's tough. You got to kind of turn it off, you know, the cynicism.
Yeah,
it's tough to do.
I'm bad at that. You know, like that. Thank God it's Friday thing that people do.
Yeah.
This, like, speaking of why we can't be totally optimistic. Like, I'm someone that's like, the weekend's coming up. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get really sad.
I got nothing to do this weekend.
I'm just gonna get. Dive into the void, just totally take a trip into the darkness.
Sometimes I think of, like, what's going on this weekend, and then I think, like, nothing, because life is boring. And then I'm like, Like, I, like, look forward to the weekend, and then when it comes, I'm like, man, I'm not doing anything. Like, how depressing is that, you know? And then I, like, I feel sad about myself. All right, we should...
Speaking of weekends and sadness, yeah. Black Friday was recently, and we wanted to talk about that.
Good segue. Yes. Last episode, we were talking about Thanksgiving, but we did not talk about Black Friday. Black Friday's weird, man. I feel like... It's simultaneously getting less popular every year, but more popular at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it was at its height when we were in high school. Like, 2008. You know what I mean?
Well, it's, I don't know, like, if that's true. It's kind of becoming a different thing, too, right?
It's morphing, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's less about going to the store.
Like, more about camping out online and, like,
yeah,
the deals, snagging the deals. But do you remember, like, 10 years ago, people would, like, camp out at Best Buy? You know?
Yeah, it was, and like, a fun,
I mean, cultural thing. They still do that, but not as, it's not as common today.
Yeah.
But people would camp out there to get, like, a TV for, like, $100 off.
Yeah. Like, they already had a TV.
You could be working in that time and make more money. Like, what are you doing? Like, that doesn't, like, the math just does not make sense to me. You know, like, you take a day off work to Black Friday shop when you could work and make that money from working. It's like, I don't know. I don't get it.
They sell it as, like, a fun thing, though, that's, like, fun to do, right? Though, it's not just to save money, it's to, like, enjoy spending
it. Is that fun? Is it fun to camp out in front of a Best Buy?
I'd rather go, see, like...
See, here I am being cynical about life again. Like, is that really a fun thing?
No, but, like, is it?
Well, I don't know. There's gonna be, like, fun doing it.
Trash on the sidewalk.
Here's what I would have fun doing, okay? If I was hanging out outside of a Best Buy with a couple people that I liked, I would have a good time. But it's not because I was outside of a Best Buy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's a good segue into another topic. I mean, we can go back to Black Friday really quick. But I feel like other people do things that aren't fun just as an excuse to hang out with people they enjoy hanging out with. And I feel like Black Friday camping out is the perfect example of this. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, my best friend Mary and me are going to camp out Black Friday. It's like, okay, is it just an excuse to hang out with Mary for 24 hours? Like, I think so. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, you're not having fun because you're in a Best Buy parking lot. You're having fun in spite of it. Because,
like, you're hanging out with a friend in a weird situation. Like, you could do that outside of your house. Like, you don't need to do it at Best Buy. Like, if we camped out at a Best Buy, I would have a great time, but it's not because I'm at Best Buy, you know?
Yeah.
We should do that, actually.
No, we shouldn't. I don't want to do that. Man, let's do something better.
We camp out somewhere else. Camping and us, just we've proven that it's just a great experience overall.
Yeah, it's ups and downs.
It's a great experience. But yeah, Black Friday, I don't know. Did you go anywhere Black Friday, or did you just stay home?
I had planned to buy a PS4 and, like, four different games. But when it came time to go and do the spending, I have a Best Buy that's really near my house, so I just, like, drove over there. And there actually weren't that many people there. But I was driving by the Best Buy.
Which proves my point that it's less of a thing, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, I think it's more ordering online. But I decided to go to the Best Buy just because I wanted the games, like, right away if I was going to buy them. Mm-hmm. And, like, when it came time to go into the Best Buy, I started to, like, freak myself out because I realized...
Were you in the car?
I was in the car by myself, yeah. And I was thinking to myself, like, okay, I've been looking forward to this for, like, weeks now. I'm, like, about to spend...
The Best Buy?
Yeah, I'm about to spend, like, way more money than I usually spend, and it's just because I'm, like, thinking that Black Friday is, like, I'm supposed to spend money now, because,
like,
everything...
Like, you'd be a good consumer and do that.
Yeah, it made me feel, like, really weird and paranoid, and instead I just went to Chick-fil-A and ate a chicken sandwich.
The American, like, dream right there.
It made me feel so weird that I was like, let me go eat first and decide if I still want to do this.
The American dream. Yeah. So you had, like, an existential crisis.
Not existential, but, like...
Like a priority crisis. Like, why am I doing this? Like,
yeah, what am I doing here?
Do you get those a lot? Like, not sure if you're supposed to be doing something? because society or because of you. Like, do you get that
yeah.
a lot?
Yeah, I do.
I get that all the fucking time. It's like the strangest feeling. I feel like Germans should have like a word for it, because you know they have a word for everything.
Yeah, everything cool.
Everything cool is a word. This is my new thing. So it's like, you're going to do something with the intention to do it, and then in the act of like preparing to do it, or in the process of like traveling to the destination, you have these second thoughts where you're like, why am I doing this? What am I doing here? Am I supposed to be doing this? Do I really want to do this? And then you like have second thoughts, and then you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in order to like decompress, you do something you do like. In your situation, you went to Chick-fil-A because you knew you would enjoy Chick-fil-A. Yeah,
isn't that weird that I went to Chick-fil-A?
No, I do the same thing. Yeah. And like, I'll do something that I do like to like decompress. But then during the entire time where I'm decompressing, I'll be thinking about like, oh man, I missed out on Black Friday or whatever it was. Like, I should have done that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh well. But it's too late at that point, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's over.
Like, on one hand, I probably would have saved like 70, 80 bucks on stuff I'm probably going to buy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I was going to spend like $500 that day.
Yeah.
And I can't stand when I see like all over in advertisements, oh, you need to buy today.
No, I know. And you're like, if I don't do it now, I'm going to regret it. You know, you fear, it's that fear of like regret, right? It's
yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to regret it if I don't. But then you're in the process of going, and like, I feel like your logical brain kicks in and you're like, this is fucking stupid. Like, yeah, you don't like, need
I can't
to
bring
do
myself
this.
To do this.
And then, but then you go eat Chick-fil-A or whatever, and you're like, and then the other part of your brain's like, well, maybe. You should have done, like, you know, when are you going to have another chance to buy a PlayStation for $300, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I get that kind of thing, like, all the time. Not just with Best Buy situations, but, like, in random situations. Like, I'll be like, oh, this event, I should go to this. This would be fun, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, I'll be driving in my car and be like, why am I doing this? Like, do I really want to do this? Is this going to be worth doing for me?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I'll be like, nope, just kidding, I'm not going to do that. And then I'll regret not doing it.
Instead, I'll spend $5, get an Arby's sandwich,
and then
and
go home.
And enjoy myself.
Exactly. And you have to do something, right? Because you're in the car at that point.
Yeah, you're out.
So it's
out.
Like, well, I'm already on my way to Arby's. I might as well go to Arby's and go home. So I left the house for a reason.
It's right there.
It's right there. Like, I've done this multiple times.
Yeah.
I can't believe. I feel like there has to be, like, a German word for it or something. But it's basically the feeling of, like, unsure of a decision you'd previously made in the moment of, like, going to it, you know?
And then you specifically have to not do it and then do something, like, that you do enjoy instead.
But, like, the thing you're doing that you do enjoy is, like, an excuse for why you left your house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, I'm around, you know, I'm around here. So I'm going to... Great example. This is a perfect example. So I was in Hawaii for my wife's 30th birthday. We went to Hawaii.
Nice.
It was really fun. Like, we had a great time. We did all the cool things in Hawaii. Like, we hiked, snorkeled, we went to the beach, we were on like a catamaran, there's like this big like crater thing, like all the cool Hawaiian things that you would do, right?
Right.
In Hawaii, there is the Pearl Harbor memorial thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I like history, let's go to this. And my wife was like, she wasn't like super excited, but she was like, yeah, it's something to do, let's do it. So we go to this Pearl Harbor exhibit thing, and you pull into the parking lot. But it's, like, a really tiny lot, and it's, like, all full. So that's the first point of frustration. I'm like, I can't find a spot anywhere. This is really dumb. So I drive around the corner, and there's, like, this weird, like, Guy Harvey-esque, like, seafood restaurant kind of thing. No one's going to understand this joke if you don't live in Florida, but you know what I mean. Like,
I know exactly. I've been to that boat show.
Like a Guy Harvey kind of seafood, you know, thing. Who's that singer? Jimmy Buffett, style kind of Margaritaville thing. So it's this big parking lot. And I'm like, I'm just going to park in here because it's right next to the Pearl Harbor thing. So I park in there. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm allowed to park in here. So I have like anxiety of like, am I going to get towed or something? So anyway, we walk over to the exhibit. And they have this like big staging area where they have all these like plaques and stuff and memorials. And I walk over and I realize that the exhibit is on the water. Like, it's not actually on the land. So what you have to do is you have to take a boat, a ferry, to the exhibit, get off, walk around, and then when you're done, take the ferry back.
Yes.
And I was like, that seems a little, I don't know how much I want to do that. But Megan was like, oh, it's fine. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. And I was like, okay, I guess we can do it. And then I walk up and the guy says, sorry, sir, you have a bag. I was carrying around a backpack. You're going to have to check that in our bag thing. And I was like, oh, check that in the, what the hell? Why do I want to do that? And so I walk over to the back thing. It's like $20 for the bag check. And I was like, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. And then Megan was like, oh, why don't we put it in our car? And I was like, oh, that's perfect. I'll just put it in the car. We'll go on the ferry, and then we'll be done. So I walk back over to the car, and as we're walking back to the parking lot, there's a sign on the parking lot that says, do not leave valuables in cars. They will be broken into and stolen. And I was like, God damn it. And I was like, the government is, this is a racket. They're trying to make $20 from you. So you have to store your stupid valuables in their stupid cabinet. And at that point, I was like, I'm done with this. Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go to Port Harbor. And we just left. We left.
Did you go to the restaurant?
I didn't go to the restaurant.
You didn't go to the restaurant? It's right there, dude.
We just left. We left. And we left Pearl Harbor. And I was like, I was fed up. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh,
but
no.
On the way back to the hotel, I found, like, this nearby park. Like, this national, like, this little bitty park with this cool trees and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're going here. So we went there, and we just relaxed in the park for, like, an hour.
Had
and
way was, much more fun.
It was really nice, but it was totally, like, what you're, it was your Chick-fil-A. It was, like, the, like, wind down, like, you know, like, we didn't do this thing, but I'm going to do this other thing. And while I was there, I did have some, like, pangs of, like, did I make the wrong decision? Should I have gone to Pearl Harbor? But
I'll tell you what you should have done. You should have gone in that restaurant and got some fried shrimp or something.
The restaurant, yes. You're totally right. Oh, well, live and learn. But, that, I mean, that's an example of, like, I was just, in the moment, I was like, do I really want to do this? This is dumb. Like, why am I doing this again? So,
and that's totally a racket. People won't break into your car and steal stuff.
It is a racket.
They're just trying to get tax money.
I got really mad. Yeah. Another thing that I do that, like, it puts me over the edge is when I have these, like, small minor frustrations, they like stack up, and then I get to the point where like my brain just can't handle it, and I'm like, I can't, I'm done, like I'm done with this situation in general.
Yeah,
like I'm out, you know.
But all right, ready for your first trivia question of today?
I'm so ready. Sorry, I talked about my personal failings as a person for like 20 minutes.
I don't think they're failings. I think you're doing something good when
they're
you do
features.
That.
They're features of my personality. Yeah, trivia one. What do we got?
Trivia. Your category is going to be sports.
Sports ball. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to choose 50-50 for this one.
All right, 50-50. Your question is, Australian cricketer Jack Fingleton became the first player to score blank in four consecutive innings.
Is this like a cricket terminology question? Because
yes, it is. So, Jack Fingleton was the first player to score blank in four consecutive innings in the game cricket.
I'm ready.
Did he score 4 hours in four consecutive innings? Did he score 4 years in four consecutive innings? Did he score 4 centuries in four consecutive innings?
What the hell?
Or did he score 4 millenniums in four consecutive innings?
They don't really call it this, do they?
They call it one of them.
Are the other three real? I want to know. Well, you can't tell me.
I don't know.
After the question...
I honestly don't know. They might be. I don't understand cricket at all.
I don't either. I watched a video on cricket like 2 years ago because someone was telling me about cricket and I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, you should watch a YouTube video. So I watched a video. It was like intro to cricket. It was like 4 hours long. And I was like, I have no idea what's happening in this video. And they have all these weird terms. They're like, all right, now the cricketer hits the blonker with the schmackin' and it goes to the thing. And then there's an inning. It's like baseball, but like complicated. It's like baseball crossed with chess,
there's this there's this Jamaican barbecue place near where I live, and the guy that works there is constantly watching cricket, and he gets like really excited. And I've tried to watch it. It is chaos. Like, people hit balls, they walk around. Like,
it's like unorganized baseball. It's like everyone's doing their own thing. It's like
I have no idea what's happening.
You know how like when people play golf, they're all playing at their own pace, you know? It feels like everyone in cricket is doing that, but, like, they're on a team somehow.
At the same time on the same field.
And also, games can take, like, a day, like, a whole day to play. Like, I read that. It's like, oh, this is a week-long game, and you play, like, 3 hours a day for, like, a week or something. It's like, what?
What are they doing?
Like, I don't know. They're walking around and hitting balls everywhere is what they're doing. I want to understand cricket one day. It's like one of my dreams to understand how to play cricket.
Well, let's go to the Caribbean and we can learn cricket.
Are they big into cricket there?
I mean, the guy that watches it is Caribbean, so I'm just kind of assuming something based on one person.
It would be like a personal dream of mine to go to a foreign country and learn some weird thing that they do, but like learn all about it.
Yeah.
Like, you see that in movies all the time, like, a guy goes to a foreign country, and, like, reality is, like, you're just alone in a foreign country for a week. But in the movies, it's like, oh, it's some American guy, here, have our culture, do you want to learn how to play cricket? And you're like, yeah, I do, and they're like, here you go. And there's this fun cricket learning montage.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get so excited about cricket, you stay in the country and become a cricket pro. It's kind of like that samurai movie with
Tom Cruise. Yes. Yeah, The Last Samurai. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Because he's like a white guy that like becomes a samurai for some reason.
There's like a mean guy from that culture who's like the antagonist, but it like
he's like, we don't want you here.
Wait, but what? Like at the end, they get to like respect each other.
Oh, at first he's like, "You're an outsider. We don't want you here." And then at the end, that he's like, "Good work. You're
good." Because you worked really hard to like.
They like shake hands and like, "You're welcome
here." They like bond.
He like has like whatever their like family like tradition is. Like, if the family tradition is like getting everyone for dinner on Sunday or something like that. Like, the protagonist is invited to that as, like, a show sign.
Yeah. Like, they give him, like, some beads that mean something.
This is so racist.
It's not racist. Everybody likes beads.
They give him some beads that mean something in their culture. What's up with, like, cultures and beads, man? It's always beads. Like, have you noticed that? Like, the American interpretation of outside culture, I feel like beads. We feel like everyone's an idiot. It's like, you see them and they're like, here's some beads. And you're like, okay, like, why do I need these? Like, in every movie, it's like the white American man comes to the culture. The first thing the natives do is, like, offer them food and beads. It's like, what is happening?
God.
It's super racist.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to use my 50-50 on the cricket question.
All right. Beans. So he either scored 4 years in four consecutive innings or 4 centuries.
Oh, God. Those are
in
the
four consecutive innings.
I was between. So it was the original one was hours, days, years, and centuries.
Hours,
years, centuries, and millennia, right?
Right.
So I was between hours and years, because they both sound kind of pointy, you know, like, oh, that sounds kind of like a point. Okay. Not really, but, you know. But a century kind of sounds like a point, too. Like, that sounds like 100 points, right? Century?
I can see that, yeah.
Right? So it's hours or...
It's years or centuries.
Years or centuries.
Yeah.
Why would they name a point a year, though? That makes no sense. You know what? It's cricket, though. I bet it's the most nonsensical answer. Because century doesn't make sense, but you could skew it to be like, oh, it's like 100. It's like, okay. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Years is 365. That doesn't make... But it makes the least sense. So I'm going to go with years.
Final years answer. Is incorrect. It is centuries. That he scored.
Well, I wonder if it's 100 points then.
I have no idea what it
means.
That's
so weird. Yeah. Now I really want to research cricket, like right now. But we won't do it. Next show, we'll have a report on both of us on cricket.
Learn cricket.
Like, It'll be like, I wonder if there's like a dummy's guide to cricket. You know, you could find those at the bookstore sometimes. You know,
I've tried to learn a couple things with resources like that. Like, have you ever, you know about Mahjong, that Chinese gambling game?
I've wanted to learn that for a while.
Yeah. Yep. I tried to learn it once.
With the dummy's guide to Mahjong. Yep.
Didn't go very well.
Didn't go well. You know, I've always wanted to learn, and I tried to learn with a dummy's guide, and I couldn't learn it. Was Go, you know, the Chinese, Japanese, whatever, Asian game, Go. I always wanted to learn that, but it's really hard to do when you can't play with someone.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the rules are simple, but, like, the strategies are really complicated, so...
They have, like, names for all the things you can do, yeah, like the butcher's block.
The openings and stuff, they have all cool names. And you have to, you don't have to know all of them, but you have to know some of them so you can, like, establish, like, okay, this pattern is a pattern you can use to try to actually win the game. You
know? Yeah.
But, I don't know, maybe one day. Let go. Anyway,
So we were talking about Black Friday, bad vibes. Getting on Black Friday.
So you didn't get anything for Black Friday, huh?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get any video games?
No.
Oh, did you know, speaking of video games, right now, I think during the recording of this podcast, the Game Awards are going on. The Video Game Award show is, like, happening, like, right now, live.
Is that, like, the MTV
Music Awards? Yes, it's basically the MTV Music Awards for video games. That's actually the perfect description.
They've got, like... Chris Tucker there for some reason.
Yes, yes. This year they have the dude from Django Unchained. The German guy.
German guy? Okay.
Yeah. You know who I'm talking about?
I know exactly who you're talking about.
I don't remember his name.
He's in a bunch of Quentin movies.
He's in Inglourious Basterds too. Yeah. He's the Nazi. He's at their Game Awards for some reason. He's presenting something, you know.
That's cool.
But why? Like, I don't get this stuff.
Maybe he's a gamer.
You can't see my face right now. But I just made like the, really?
Face. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he totally is for the day.
Maybe he's a gamer. But yeah, those are going on. So it just goes to show how excited I am about them that I'm, you know, recording a podcast in front of them. But I think there's some, like, announcements or something that's going to happen, but, I mean, nothing that exciting, you know? Okay. My doorbell literally just rang.
Do you need to go see who that is?
Maybe. Can you entertain our guests?
All right, I'll hold it down.
All right.
Good luck.
Maybe less.
So, we were talking about Black Friday and how I drove to Best Buy but decided not to go in because I was too scared to spend money on that specific day. There is something I did do. In the morning, and I've done this for the past couple of years now, I have this tradition. There's this beer that's released on Black Friday called Goose Island. It's Goose Island Bourbon Barrel Stout. And it's released on this day, and usually you have to wait in a line in the morning, like in front of the beer store, in order just to get one. They're limited quantities, and they're like pretty rare. So I went to my local beer store, Total Wine, and waited in line.
Yeah! What an episode this is. It was the Prime delivery people.
Oh, cool.
We do groceries with Amazon Prime now.
It seems late for a delivery.
Well, it is. So, my wife apparently scheduled one for during my during the podcast.
It's okay. I was just telling our listeners that even though I didn't buy any video games on Black Friday, I did go to Total Wine and wait in the traditional year-long.
Oh yes, you told me about this
of Goose Island.
Did you get some?
Yeah, I got some.
Did you see anyone that you knew from last year?
No, last year they brought us donuts. This year, no donuts.
Oh man!
But there was a line of, you know, people outside, and it was cool.
This is like a tradition of yours now.
Yeah, I got. They usually release like five different beers. There's like a stout, a bunch of weird ones, and then like a special stout. I just bought like the stout and the special.
How many
stout.
People were in line?
Not as many this year, and they actually didn't sell out right in the morning.
Sucks. Oh man. Because, like, we talked about this last year. Like, my biggest dream for you is to, like, do this every year of your life until you die. and like be best friends with like one of the people that you only see once a year.
That I only see
at this thing. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome. I mean, like, I talked to people, and there were people that had waited before, but I didn't recognize any of them specifically.
Like, oh, it's Joe, you know? Are you getting the same brand this year? And he's like, yep, every time, you know, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. That, I mean, that would be fun, but...
I don't know. I think something's wrong with me, because I dream of, like, cool interactions with stupid people, like, every day. Like, those are my daydreams. Like, oh, man, that would be cool. To interact with that guy, you know.
Every year.
Such a stupid thought, but it's what I like. Other people aspire to like do cool things with their life. I'm just like, oh, it'd be cool to know that guy and see him every year at the Total Wine beer line. I'm like, wow, that would be neat, you know.
I have something I do where I go to the same gas station every single time, even if it's out of the way.
Do they know you?
They don't know me, but I know them.
That's close. Yeah. I have a guy that knows me at one of the sub shops around here.
Oh, cool.
He like says my name.
Does he know what you order? Does he?
Yeah, he remembers my order. It's a good feeling. Maybe my problem is I'm so like bad at social situations that my daydreams are that I'm secretly good at them.
You're not, though. You're not bad at social situations.
But maybe that's, you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Maybe... It stems from that. It's like, here's what your life would be like if you were good at this.
It's like that opening scene in Beauty and the Beast where Belle is walking through the town and everyone is like, hey, it's Belle. Oh, I love Belle.
Yeah, she's and so you're great. Like, how did that happen? Like, how did Belle... Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, Belle, would you like a baguette this morning?
It's like, what did she... She's like 16. How did she know everyone in the village?
She's like already more social.
Than me.
Than me. Makes me angry.
I think about this sometimes, too, because, like, there's, like, kids out there. It's like, they're, like, 16, 17 years old, and they're like, oh, yeah, I know, like, a million people. It's like, you're 16, who do you have the time to do that? Like, I'm 30, I know, I have, like, five people I know. Like,
you don't know a million people, they actually do, like...
Yeah, it's like, where do you have the time to meet all these people? Like, I only know, like, five people in the world that you know. Like, what are you doing every day to meet all these people? It's like, it's Belle, you know, whatever. It's like, what the hell, Belle? Like, how do you... I don't know. It makes me mad. It's like, what's the secret sauce here? Am I missing something? You know?
I don't know. I think the secret sauce is social media.
No, I don't think so. Because before social media, people... Belle didn't have social media. She just
knew the
whole town.
Everybody still wanted to sell her baguettes.
Everybody knew Gaston, you know?
That's true. They sang a song about him.
They did. I don't know how to do that. I wish I could be Gaston, but I'm not. I'll never be Gaston.
Me too.
I'll even fall off the thing. Like, I don't care, you know?
Do you know what I'd like to be? I'd like to be the guy that's friends with Gaston that sings about him.
Oh yes, that's the what's that guy's name?
I don't know his name. See, he's not important enough for me to know his name.
He's Gaston's like sidekick.
Yeah.
See, that's where to go. That's my like number one, right? Because then you don't have to be like good at everything.
Yeah.
But you can still kind of live the life. Yeah. Vicariously through Gaston.
There's less pressure.
Yeah, yeah. If you screw up, it's fine. You're the goofy
sidekick. It's Gaston's fault, yeah.
Of Gaston, you know, it doesn't matter. But if Gaston does something cool, you're there to, like, revelry with Gaston, you know?
Yeah.
The problem with our relationship is neither one of us are Gaston. You know, yeah. We're both
are the sidekick. I feel like sometimes one of us transforms into Gaston, like, if we really need to. We can tell this story. Like, there are a couple stories where this has happened.
I love this analogy.
When I visited you and we went out drinking, like, yes, my alcohol tolerance is ridiculous. Just because I drink way too much. And I turned into Gaston and got us home.
You're, like, talking to all these people.
I got us an Uber. But then, when we went to Desert Days, and I have zero tolerance for marijuana.
Other things? Yeah.
Yeah. We both did it, and you had to turn into Gaston and get us through.
I was Gaston in that situation.
You had to talk to
people. And I was, like, talking with all these people, and they were all like, oh, Chris, you're so cool. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
And this is my friend.
This is my friend LeFou, or whatever the hell his name is. He's cool, too. And they're like, oh, cool. Awesome. See, that's the secret. How transforming into Gaston when necessary.
Yes.
But, like, it's kind of like, those movies where, like, the hero can only transform into the good thing, like, in very specific situations.
Right.
Like, they can't just do it. Like, in Thundercats or whatever, you know? Like, he can't just transform into Lion-O whenever he wants. He has to, like, something bad has to happen.
Right.
And his limit break has to activate, you know, and then he, like, becomes that. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, your, like, chi energy has to be aligned correctly or something.
Line up with the moon or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
And then you can successfully transform into Gaston.
I bet that's a thing for a lot of people, too, that have, like, really close friends where, like, one of them, there arises a situation where one of them must become the Gaston.
of the because they're both... Yeah. Like, meek and maybe shyer or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, like, it has to happen or else nothing will happen, so...
Yeah. And I think, like, having someone with you and, like, I'm not capable of turning into Gaston on my own.
Alone. No, me neither.
Like, I have to have someone to build my confidence with me.
You have to have the LeFou or whatever the hell his name is. You have to have the sidekick. Like, he's essential to that.
The truth is Gaston is nothing without LeFou.
It's true, and that's I think that's the key, right?
Yeah, like, that's the key.
He grounds Gaston into showing what Gaston can be,
right?
Because LeFou is like the foundation of Gaston, because it's like LeFou is the mediocre, and Gaston's the good, and he wouldn't know what the good is without seeing the mediocre. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got his back. He's in with the positive reinforcement. He talks him up to all the, like, the...
Exactly.
Like, the average person can't connect with Gaston because Gaston is just so, like, marvelous and amazing.
He's too cool.
He's too cool. You need, like, the everyman to be more relatable.
To be like, hey, look at this guy. Isn't he awesome? Yeah, haha, he's my best friend. And the Gaston's like, oh, LeFou.
Let me wrestle someone and bite them.
And then let me dance on a table and whatever else I do, you know what I mean? exactly. But the transformation, it's like when a mother has to, like, draw their strength to save their child or whatever. You know, it's kind of like that kind of situation.
Yeah, you know? They gotta, like, lift up a car to save little Jimmy. Right.
The other person is struggling. They're both struggling. And they're like, well, I have to save my friend. And it's like, I gotta be Gaston now. You know? And that's what happens. So I'm glad we can both be Gaston.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like, finding a Gaston, that's the way to do it. Because you just gotta latch onto somebody like that, and then they'll just take you.
I know it's time for our second trivia question, but I was listening to this cool talk. I forgot who it was with recently. But what the guy said, he was a Japanese person, and I think this might be, like, cultural too, but I think there's some truth to it, is when you get to be of age, you need to find, like, a master who teaches you stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And because the reason is once you get to be of age, like, your dad is no longer your master. You need to get a new one.
You need to get a new master.
Yeah, you need to find, like, a man who's really good at blowing glass, and you become his apprentice.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it may be.
Yeah, man. Okay, we should do the trivia, but I want to get back to this topic, because this is a really good topic.
All right, so your second trivia question will be quick. It's about history.
Okay.
What will be your lifeline?
Oh, right, lifeline. I'll do Monty Hall for history.
Okay. Today in history...
Today, like on this very
day. On this very day, it is Armed Forces Flag Day in blank.
I don't know.
I rushed this. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's
A, the United States. B, Czechoslovakia. C, Panama. Or D, India.
Armed Forces Flag Day. I feel like if it was Armed Forces Flag Day in America, I would have seen something. Because, like... What?
I didn't think of that.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, every We have a holiday like every single fucking day in this country, and the one thing you cannot avoid on social media is like, it's National Donut Day. Have you had your donut yet? You know, like, or whatever, right? So, like,
yeah,
I feel like I would have heard it.
Especially if it's armed forces related.
Yeah, I would have heard it on Facebook already. So I'm going to eliminate that. But, so, I guess I will use my money haul. I'm going to lock in the United States. See what I did there?
Yes. It is either the United States or India.
All right, I'm going with India, final answer.
Okay, you're correct.
Yes! You like my logic? That was good, right? Yeah,
that was good.
Armed Forces Flag Awareness Day?
Just Armed Forces Flag Day.
Flag, I don't even know what that means. I guess they just show all the flags of Indian military forces or something.
Yeah, it was on that Today in History page on Wikipedia.
Sure.
Yeah.
A very useful page, I might add.
Yeah, for trivia.
But getting back to the mentor thing,
mm-hmm.
This is a topic I actually think about quite a bit, because I never had a mentor, ever, in my entire life, I don't think. Maybe, no, I don't think I ever did. Did you? Have you?
I've had...
I mean, your dad, obviously, that's the difference.
Obviously, thing. My dad, but, like, as far as, like... You know, you come of age and you mm-hmm. you have to meet the wise man. I don't mm-hmm. think I ever did, but there are people who I've read books by that I kind of consider mentors, but it's not the same.
That's not a personal relationship, though.
No.
But I see what you mean. That's like, I've had that too. Like, you read something and you're like, oh, this is eye-opening. But it's not the same because they're not teaching you. They're just teaching everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think this is an issue with... I don't know, our society doesn't really do this very well anymore. Mentor-mentee thing.
I totally agree.
Everyone's all like, oh, you're on your own. And, like, it's fine to be on your own and self-sufficient, and I am happy and I am very proud of my self-sufficiency and independence. But at the same time, it's like, no one wants to be a mentor. No one wants to admit that they need a mentor. You know what I mean? It's like almost a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is everyone's pretending that they already know everything about, like, life.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about a mentor that's like a career. Like, it could be that too. But, like, just someone who knows about life and maybe career stuff too. But, like, everyone pretends that they have all the answers already. So they're all like, oh, I don't need a mentor. I got it all figured out. It's like, no, you don't. Nobody has it figured out. Even your mentor doesn't have it figured out, like, if you had one. But, like, mm-hmm. getting one gives you some more viewpoints into, you know, life and career and whatever, what have you, you know what I mean? That you miss out if you don't.
So. I think young people especially suffer from this, where they think, like, oh, there's no way an adult, older person could have, like, a more advanced perspective of life than me.
Whereas that's wrong. Like, they could.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily right, but I think that's the problem when you're a kid. You're like, oh, they're wrong. And it's like, it's not about right and wrong. It's just about different perspectives. And having different perspectives will get you more, will allow you to make, you know, different decisions or, like, you know, do different things, you know? Like, as a kid, you're like, oh, adults, they don't know anything. Like, they're stupid. It's like, maybe they are, but they bring a different perspective.
Yeah.
So... I wish I had a mentor sometimes.
Yeah, me too. Like a sensei that would, like, give me belts when I did.
Yeah, you watch, like, The Karate Kid too many times. And, you know, you do the, like, little car wash thing or whatever, like, wax on, wax off. And it's like, oh, this is a move all along. And you're like, whoa.
The guy that I was listening to talk about this said that the way we need to bring it back is that we need to bring back the... like, rite of passage type ceremonies where we have to, like, give people a huge challenge that they have to face.
Yes, I agree.
And then because they struggle through that challenge, they respect older people who have made it through that challenge.
Right. And even if they fail, they respect the fact that other people tried.
Right.
Like they did, you know. Because,
I'm not saying that we should, like, put bullet ants in gloves and, like, make kids wear them for, like, 30 minutes or whatever.
This is an interesting point, because, like a rite of some kind of challenge.
Yeah.
This is interesting, because, like, I went to camp for, like, 3 or 4 years during summers when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a thing that they did for like people who had been there multiple years in a row, they had like ranks or whatever, like depending on like your age and how many years you've been at the camp.
Right.
And once you reached a certain rank, they like had this this thing where they would like, while you were sleeping, they would select a bunch of kids that all had this like upper rank in the camp, and they would have them do this like wilderness survival challenge for like 24 hours. And obviously they couldn't die or anything, but right. It was supervised. But the challenge was like, you have to like light a fire out in the wilderness and like have it last for like at least 3 or 6 hours or something like that. You had to like find a way to find running water. You couldn't talk the entire time.
Yeah.
You had to like hunt something. And there was like a few other challenges, right? But like it was this kind of like survivalist thing for 24 hours. And most people failed it, but some of them passed it. Mm-hmm. And it was like this weird rite of passage thing. And like if you fail it, like it's almost like just as good, because like
absolutely.
You get this sense of respect of like, oh, I tried it. Other people have tried it. And people that are like better than me have failed as well. So like I'm not any worse, you know, than them. Like it gives you perspective. But like I never got to do it. And I, like, regret sometimes not being able to do it. Because, right. like, one time I got to, like, the last year I was there, I got to the rank. And they were talking about, like, Chris, would you be ready for this? Because, like, it's a surprise. So, like, they're not going to tell you they want you to do it. But they're, like, they had a conversation, like, would you be ready for something like this? And I was, like, and I was young. And I was, like, oh, no, I don't think I'd be ready for that. Maybe next year. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when they had the time to, like, select people to do it, they passed over me. And, like, I was, like, 15. And I never went the year after, so I never had the chance to literally do this.
That's
like,
a shame.
Sometimes I like think about it, and I'm like, what kind of person would I be if I had done that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think
even if I failed, I'm sure I would have failed, but like even if I failed, what?
I think that kind of wilderness survival thing is a really good challenge, because you get to experience like the loneliness of the wilderness, and you get to experience feeling self-sufficient because, you know, you built a fire, you got some water. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, like, even if you fail it, you probably succeeded on a couple of the points, because there's many facets, right? And when you're done, people can be like, oh, sorry, you failed, Chris. But you can be like, no, it's okay, because I did this and this and this and this right. And I did 50% of this whole challenge or something. And you can feel proud of that. And I feel like that sense of accomplishment is better than any other kind of sense of accomplishment you can get in life, because it's something that you, like, you know you are solely responsible for.
Yeah.
Doing, you know what I mean?
And it also puts you, like, it's like a, I don't know if this is the right way to describe it, but it's like an anchor in time, because someone who's 60, who might be the camp director, like, if this tradition has gone on long enough, and you're a kid, and you meet the 60-year-old dude, and you think, wow, the 60-year-old dude did the same thing I did. It, like, kind of puts you like together
40
in time.
Years ago, or whatever,
like that.
Yeah.
Where you can relate to people better.
Yeah, and I had a friend who did it, and he, like, passed, and I was like,
wow. Nuts.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was, like, legendary. But, like, I don't know. I think about it sometimes, like, I wish I did that.
Me too. I didn't have anything like that.
Yeah, I just wish I was brave enough to, like, say, like, yes, I want to do this. But, like, I was young and, like, was afraid. But, like, that was back when I was afraid of failure, like, frighteningly, you know what I mean? Like, I still am, but, like, that's, like, a huge problem with, like, my personality. Like, I'm just deathly afraid to fail. I'd rather not try than fail, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know that.
So, like, when someone asks me, like, do you want to do this? I'm like, no, I don't want to, because I'm afraid to fail. And not only am I afraid to fail, I'm afraid to, like, fail in an embarrassing way. And be like, ah-ha-ha, like, he tried and he's stupid, he failed.
Look
so
how hard
bad.
He tried.
Look how bad he did, you know? Like, and I'm deathly afraid of that, but, like, what I'm realizing as I get older is, like, nobody knows what they're doing at all. So, like, when someone fails, it's because they just don't know. Like, they don't know what they're doing, just like you don't know what you're doing, you know? And the people that succeed, those are the people that, like, probably failed a bunch of times, and now they're succeeding because they either got lucky or they got more skilled by failing, you know? So it's like, whatever. I don't know. But... yeah, that was my story about mentorship. I guess it's only loosely related, but
yeah,
still.
I like the idea of mentorship. I think we should bring it back.
I do too. Is it too late in my life to get a mentor?
I want one still. I don't.
There
think
should be like a website. You know?
Mentors.
Oh, that's a bad idea.
No. Why would that be a bad idea? Let's talk about this.
Mentors.com.
You go to the you go to mentors.com,
this
right?
It's gonna be perverted for sex stuff. I just know what it's gonna be.
What do you fill out an online application?
You go to mentors.com. Oh, you fill out your personal information? Yeah.
And you post it like on it's a like Craigslist ad.
It's like Tinder for mentors. And you have a picture of you like giving a thumbs up.
You gotta list the qualities you want.
Yep. So, are you posting as a mentee? You're like looking for a mentor.
I'm at an age where I feel like I could apply for to be a mentor both. And a mentee.
Uh huh.
Like
that would be interesting. You had like a tier of mentors, right? Like you have a mentor, but then you also have a mentee. You know what
right.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
It's like you Jedi's.
Know? Yeah, it is like Jedi's. I would try the mentor website. Yeah.
I don't know if I would. That sounds
sounds weird.
It sounds like a sexual thing. If I'm
being it really
totally
does.
Honest.
Here's the thing: like you have like voice, you have like chats like weekly. You know, you like have Skype conversations.
Okay.
Like how are you doing this week, Joe? And you're like, I'm good. I'm good. Like tell me about your. It's kind of like therapy, but like not psychological. I mean, you know, not psychiatric. It's like more of like a.
Life coaching kind of
life coaching encouragement kind of thing. Yeah, it's like, have you ever had to deal with this mentor? And they're like, yep, I had to do that. It was shitty. Like, you'll get through it. You know, like just words of encouragement kind of stuff. You know. So I probably wouldn't do mentor.com, but
yeah, I don't know if the internet works for something like this.
I don't know if either. I feel like this would be a great thing to have like at your local library.
Yeah.
You know, like a mentorship program at the library.
Or like a summer camp thing. I think this is a great summer camp.
But I'm too old to go to summer camp.
Yeah,
I'm 30. True. I can't go to summer camp anymore. Like, hey, everyone, it's me. I want a mentor. Like, you're 30, dude. You're an adult. You can't have a mentor anymore. It's like, but I want one.
Where are the summer camps for adults?
I don't know. I've been thinking about this too. Like, where are they? I don't know. I want them.
I've seen like two different things. I've seen these weird new age groups that go out into the woods and like take a lot too many drugs. Yeah, but that doesn't sound really what I'm looking for.
Uh-huh. What's the other one you've seen?
They're both new age things. There's this guy that. There's a lot of guys you can pay that'll take you out into the desert and they'll show you how to like see UFOs and stuff.
Oh my god, we have to do this one.
It's $2,500
per person.
Yeah.
Okay, when I get really rich.
Like if it was 100, I'd do it. But
I would do it for 100. I would do it for $200.
Yeah,
but $2,500. Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Anyway, there's no summer camps for adults.
There's a summer camp for adults here, but it's not really a summer camp. It's like 3 days, like 4 days, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and you go to like a campground and you just like have fun for a weekend. But it's like adults. But I would compare it more to like a cruise. You know what I mean? Than a summer. Like it is a summer camp. It's at a camp. But, like, you know how you go on a cruise and you just, like, goof off and have fun for, like, however long you're on a cruise for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's kind of like that experience. Like, you're not really learning anything at the summer camp.
Yeah.
Like, part of the thing with kids is, like, it's fun, but it's also kind of educational, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's some serious aspects to it.
Yeah, there's some serious aspects. Like, what I was saying with, like, the trial thing I was talking about, like, in my summer camp. Like, there's some, like, you know, building character aspects, and there's some, like, you know, rites of passage kind of thing, and there's some, like, you know, you're a young person, you're growing into an adult, you know, coming of age.
Yeah, I have a friend who does summer camps for kids, and part of, like, the way he structures the camp is he makes these little games that the kids don't realize what they really are. So, like, he'll make the different houses, like, Marvel versus DC, mm-hmm. and what that really does is, if there's a kid who's really bad at socializing, at least they have that one thing that they can
have
in common
a group.
With everybody.
Yeah, they
so
like already
there's
have a
subtle
thing.
Things that are building.
That's really clever. Yeah,
that are building confidence and doing stuff like good serious things. But adult summer camps, it's just like, oh, let's get drunk in the woods, whatever.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I don't like. It's like, oh yeah, basically like you said, it's like, oh yeah, let's get drunk in the woods and do things that kids did for fun in summer camp. It's like, okay, but I want like some of the learning experience too, like as an adult. And I feel like that's another annoying thing about our generation is, like, going back to the thing where we were, like, we're getting really deep on this episode, I'm sorry.
It's a great episode, dude.
Going back to the thing I was saying, like, a couple minutes ago, where it's, like, we are afraid to admit that we don't have the answers, and we're like, we pretend that we're like, we're in control of our lives and we like know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
So of course a summer camp for adults that like teaches you things, like that wouldn't fly, because that would mean everyone that goes is admitting that like they need help. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the closest we get is like TED Talks and like seminars and stuff.
Yeah.
But we disguise that by making it like, oh, this is like a career growth thing. You know what I mean?
Like, no, it's not, dude.
It's like, I don't care about career growth. It's like personal growth. Like, that's what I want. But like, we're too afraid to admit that we have flaws as human beings, like in our generation, to like get something like this happening. But I would totally go to an adult summer camp if it was like something where like you have fun and you like learn and you kind of like grow as a person too.
That can like almost be used against you these days. If you tell someone that you went to a self-help thing, they're like, oh, he needs someone. He's someone that needs help.
When do you need therapy? It's like, no, everybody needs therapy, dude. Like, everyone has problems. That's another thing that bothers me. Like, there's like this stigma against like mental health. And the problem is like, everyone has mental health issues. Like, everybody. Like, no matter who you are, like you have some issue, right? And some people have smaller issues, some people have larger issues. So, like, making fun of someone for someone that has, like, a small issue or a large issue, either way, it's stupid because you yourself probably have some hang-up that you have. So, like, everyone needs to work on stuff as a person, and I don't know. It annoys me that stigma. It's like, oh, yeah, I went to help scenario or whatever, and they're like, oh, you need help or whatever. Like, yeah, no, everybody does.
There's only one thing to do. We need to start a cult.
I think that's like, when I was a kid, I was like, cults are dumb, like I would never mean a cult. But like, as I'm like older, not that I would ever join one, I can be like, yeah, I could see the appeal. I could see the appeal to a cult.
Yeah, you know, same. Like, it sounds kind of nice.
I can totally see the appeal. Like, I totally see it. Like, I was watching a movie the other day on TV about like a cult. And people, like, one of the it was two brothers, and they, like, escaped the cult. And then, like, the younger brother wanted to go back in to see what it was like. And the older brother was like, the cult's dumb. I don't want to do this. And the younger one was like, but I know everyone. Like, I have a good time. Like I don't have to worry about, like, eating or sleeping. Like,
I have a mentor.
I have a mentor. And I'm like, I'm watching this, and I'm like, he's making a lot of good points. Like that doesn't sound so bad. You know? If it weren't for like the brainwashing thing, like it'd be really nice.
Yeah.
But like, if we started like a friendly cult where it's like no brainwashing.
That's what I mean. A friendly one.
Just a group of people that like to hang out and teach one another things about life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, for sure. I think some people use like church to do that, and I think it works for a lot of people. So,
if it doesn't work for you, though, you're kind of shit out of luck.
You really are. Although, I don't know if you've heard of these. I know we have to get to our final trivia. But they have, like, agnostic versions of church now. Have you heard of this?
I have, yeah.
Like, it's basically people that don't have religious beliefs, but they, like, want the community kind of aspect of church. Which I guess I can see. But at the same time, it seems like they're kind of kidding themselves with that. Yeah. Like, you're making an excuse to, like, have a community when it's not really about the community. It's just about learning from one another, you know?
Yeah. For me, too, personally, I need a little bit of weird in my community. And agnostic just isn't weird enough for me.
No. Yeah. I definitely need weird, too.
All right. Are you ready for your third and final trivia question of today?
I'm so ready.
All right. This is another one I got off the Today in History Day. So
it's going to be real bad.
It's about history. I'll have you choose a lifeline.
I can't wait. I'm going to do... Should I do info, please? Should I do it? How do you feel about that selection?
You can.
I'm able to, but should I? Should I do info, please, or Bing? You make the decision.
You should do Bing.
I should do Bing.
Just take my word for it.
I'll do Bing. I'll do 10-second Bing.
Okay.
I'm ready. Ooh, an owl's on the cover of Bing today. Very
cool.
I'm ready.
All right. Tomorrow marks the day blank is crowned king of the West Frankish kingdom at Copenhagen. I don't know how to say it.
Copenhagen?
Sure. Just
we'll just call it Copenhagen.
Yeah.
So... This is... Tomorrow marks the what?
The day that blank is crowned king of the West Frankish kingdom copying-ed me. It's a French word. I'm not.
So you're not telling me when this happened. You're just saying it happened tomorrow.
It was in 877 AD.
Oh, really early. Okay, cool. All right, what do you got?
So it is it either A, Peter the Piper? Is it B, Louis the Stammerer? Is it C, Ferdinand the Horrible? Uh-huh. Or is it D, Wilhelm the Glutton?
I love all these names.
One of them was the king.
Are these all real people, or did you make the other
one? I think only one is real.
What was the last one? Something the Glutton?
Wilhelm.
Wilhelm the Glutton. That one sounds real. But so do they all. Peter the Piper sounds like he made that up, because Peter Piper picked...
Maybe that's where the song came from.
That's true. And then Wilhelm the Glutton. What were the other two?
Louis the Stammerer.
That sounds kind of real, yeah.
Or Ferdinand the Horrible.
I feel like Ferdinand the Horrible sounds the most historical. Because I don't think people are like, oh yeah, he's a stammerer. Let's make that his name. But if you're horrible, they're like, yeah, we're putting that
he on was
his
bad.
Name. You know what I mean? Like, Ferdinand, yeah, he was horrible. Call him Ferdinand the Horrible. Okay, I'm going to bing it. Give me the name of the thing again. West Franks or something or other.
West Frankish Kingdom at Compiègne.
How do you spell that?
Compiègne.
Compiègne. Compiègne. Okay. I'm ready for Bing whenever. All West right. Frankish Compiègne, December 7th, I think.
Was. Ready. 3, 2, 1. Uh-huh. Bing it.
West bing, bing, bing. Frankish Compiègne, King, December.
Got 5 seconds.
7th. Enter. Okay.
And you're out of time.
I see Louis the Two. Was there a Louis?
Louis the Stammerer was one.
That was the one that sounds the least real to me, though. But, I mean, I'm seeing Louis on here. I don't see Louis the Stammerer. But I see Ancestors of Louis II, King of the West Franks. You know, that sounds
877 good. AD. Yeah, that sounds partially correct.
I'm going to go with Louis the Stammerer, final answer.
Okay, you're correct.
Yes! I wish it was Gustav the Fat or whatever that one was.
Wilhelm the Glutton.
Wilhelm the Glutton.
Like, yeah,
Wilhelm the Glutton and Gustav the Fat. That sounds like a good sitcom right there. Right?
Yeah, on the it's BBC.
Like two kings, right? They're both fat. They both rule separate, like, or maybe they're barons, right? They both rule separate tracts of land.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, get into trouble, you know? And their wives are really annoying. So it's kind of like the Flintstones, right? Like,
yeah.
Barney and Fred. And they, like, have a good time, like, annoying their peasants and stuff. And they, like, eat a lot of turkey legs. And...
Yeah. I think instead of bowling, they would just go out and prank the peasants.
Yes. And then, like, sometimes they would, like, execute people.
Yeah. Like, they just, they're really violent, like, and sadistic.
Gustav and Wilhelm.
Yeah.
And there would be like an and, like an ampersand in the title. You know, it wouldn't be and, it would be like ampersand. Yeah. You know,
I think one of the skits would be like, they're sitting at a table at a bar somewhere and they're like, come on, let's go find a witch. Let's just go find one. Let's go burn her at the stake. And they just go do it for fun.
And then like someone, like a police officer or something, like, stop, what are you doing? And they turn around and they're like, and the cop's like, oh, it's you guys, I'm sorry. And they're like, yeah, you better be sorry. And then they, like, moon him or something.
Get this witch for us.
Oh, I love this. That's a good idea. Do you want to do some Reddits before the end of the show?
Sure.
Okay, I got a couple for you today. I think they're pretty good. All right, first question on Reddit is, if you woke up in the year 2000 BC, what technology could you invent from scratch, if anything?
2000 BC.
Yeah, you're really far. Yeah,
we're Egyptians.
There. Are we in the Bronze Age yet? No.
I think we are.
Maybe we are. We are. We're out of the Stone Age.
Pyramids were I think, around 2000 BC.
Yes, that sounds right. Bronze Age. When was the Bronze Age? But what do you think? Think about it.
I don't know if I could invent any booze. They have it though.
They do have it. Yeah, they invented booze earlier.
They're probably way better at it than I am too.
Probably.
I can make a pipe. They probably have that too, though.
I believe they probably have that as well. Yes. Bronze Age ended in 1200 BC, so you're still in the Bronze Age.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad that I can't invent anything.
I thought of something that you might be able to invent.
What?
So I'm on the Wikipedia page, and they're talking about how there's proto-writing going on, but not complete writing.
Oh.
You could invent the alphabet.
I could invent a lot of...
You could invent language.
Yeah, that would be cool to do.
Yeah. That's an easy one, because the easiest thing about inventing language is you already know it. Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't need to know any, like, physics or anything to invent language. It's like, yep, I know it. It's English. We got it. Good. You know?
Was math invented yet? I can invent math, too.
I mean, I think it was, but, like, not some of it. Like, a lot of it was undone. Yeah. So, like, I think a lot of geometry wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, you could totally do Pythagoras theorem.
I could get you a base 10 number system. I could get you a language.
Yeah. You'd be like a really famous philosopher if you did that.
Or they would just murder me.
I mean, probably both, right? Like, you'd be famous, then you get murdered, and then you get more famous. Bat Snacks the Wise, inventor of the base 10 number system and language.
No, it would. Do you know what would happen though? Someone would like get jealous and murder me, and then take credit for what I did. I would
absolutely.
I would be like Bat Snacks the Fat, the horrible, fat.
The ugly.
He's fat, ugly, and he's dumb.
He didn't do anything. Do you ever think about like how many things in history were stolen and like copped off as like their own thing?
I have a theory about this. You know, like every big painter ever.
Yes.
I don't think they did any of that stuff, man.
What do you think they did?
You know what I think they did? I think they all had schools.
They paid someone to do it or something?
They all had schools, and they just took credit for everything in their everything everyone made in their school.
Like, yep, that's fine. I did that. Like
Leonardo da Vinci, he had a school. He was a teacher, and he just took everybody's ideas.
He's like, yeah, I did that. See the Mona Lisa? That was me. I did that. And then they're like, why does this look different than another Leonardo da Vinci? He's like, oh, it's stylistic changes. Like, no, it's just painted by a different person.
That's a risk of the mentor system. Your mentor can just, like, take everything you make.
Yeah, the problem with the mentor system is the mentor could be a real jerk and steal your ideas. That's why you can't share good ideas with your mentor. No, maybe. I don't know. At mentor.com, we have a guarantee that your mentor will not steal any of your good ideas. But no, sometimes I think, like, who in history, like, just stole stuff other people did and took credit for it? Like, especially, like, writers and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know how many people just, like, think anybody could have stole it and been like, yep, this is me, I wrote this. Especially writers that are only famous for, like, one thing, you know?
Yeah. Especially like, back in history when there were, you know, there wasn't as much policing on...
Oh, yeah.
Power.
Yeah, like, nobody knew. Like, if it was said that this person wrote it, you're like, okay, that's who wrote it. Like, there were so many women back in the day that used men's name pseudonyms, you know?
Right.
For their writing, because, like, they weren't taken seriously. How many women do you think wrote, and their husbands were just like, this is mine.
That's mine.
I wrote this. Like, I bet that happened, like, a bunch of times, you know? Like, I bet that happened, like, a lot. Like, Charles Dickens, like, might not even be. Like,
it might
like,
be Charlene.
Yeah, or whatever her name was. We don't know. Okay. What's the strangest question you've ever been asked at a job interview?
I don't know. I haven't really been asked any strange questions at job interviews.
Not at all?
Not really. My last job interview was, what, like 4 years ago now?
I got asked. This is a really stupid interview. Have I told this story before? I don't want to badmouth this company.
Is it the donut question?
No. It's a good question. The donut question is good. It is strange, but it's good. If you're not familiar with the donut question, it's how many, if you had to get a dozen donuts for an office and you didn't know anybody in the office, you just knew, you know, they like donuts, what kind of donuts would you get? And, you know, the safe answer is all glaze because everybody likes glaze. But you could also change it up and be like, oh, Boston cream, you know, chocolate sprinkles, blah, 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 blah. But those are all risks. So, you know, I think it just exemplifies what kind of person you are.
Right.
And I would get a dozen glaze because that's safe and I play it safe and that's how I am, you know. But no, this question was, there's a particular tech company in Austin that is not... doesn't really do a lot of stuff anymore. Like, they're not as popular. And I interviewed there, like, 5 years ago when I first moved here. And I had a degree in, like, stuff. Like, I was above this position. But I had dabbled in, like, QA earlier in my career.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was looking for a job. So I, like, applied for this position. Not knowing, like, the level of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they interview me and they're like, blah, 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 blah. Like, this is kind of entry level. And I was like, okay, you know, like, in the back of my mind, I was like, I probably don't want this, but I'll still do the interview because, you know, it's a good experience and you never know what happens, right? So, like, I did the interview and it was, like, very Silicon Valley-esque. Like, they asked me really dumb questions about, like, you know, like, random knowledge questions of, like, on-your-feet thinking or, like, how many different colors... were there in the lobby, and what color tie did the person that walked you into the building wear? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Random shit like that. That means, like, absolutely nothing to this job. Like, if you wanted me to pay attention to that stuff, I would have, you know, but you didn't, so screw you. So it was a bunch of these, like, stupid, like, Silicon Valley gotcha questions where they're trying to see how clever you are or whatever.
Right.
And they really annoyed me. And then after the interview was over, they're like, okay, you know, we'll let you know, blah, blah, blah. And I get an email, like, a day later. They offer me the job. But the job is, like, I'm not going to say the salary. I would have got paid more working at Dairy Queen.
Ooh. And they were, like, trying to, like, trick you
with all these dumb questions. And they were trying to trick me with these questions. Like, don't give me a fucking Silicon Valley, like, sensei fucking interview if you're going to pay me, like, $12 an hour. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Screw you guys. Like the interview rubbed me the wrong way, but that was just, like, the thing that really did me. I was like, what the hell is this? Like, this is some bullshit.
That's so tech culture. Like,
you could tell the two dudes that were giving me the interview were, like, bro-y and were, like... It was probably their first job, too, and they've just been there a few years, so they thought they could, like, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna, like, fucking trick this guy with these...
Totally gonna grill him with these hard questions.
Like, even though they're making fucking $12 an hour, so you could get, like, a monkey to do this stupid fucking job, it's like, I don't know, it just annoyed me a lot. It was like, you guys so up your own butt that... Anyway, the company went, I think it's still around, but, like, it's bad. It's not good. But good.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
Their culture's fucking stupid. Like, that's dumb. That's dumb. Don't ask dumb fucking questions. You'll get dumb answers.
Most of the jobs I've ever taken, I've already been basically in. So I've never had to do, like, a serious interview process.
Yeah, so you don't have any weird
stories. I think I would be pretty weak at that anyway, because I'm not very good at, like, bullshitting. I'm just, like, a very real person all the time.
I mean, that's good. All right, your last question. Last question.
Okay.
This person is wondering a specific thing. Why do raven corpses keep showing up in my driveway? I've seen 3 in the last week. Is this a bad omen?
It means you're about to get the plague, man. You're about to get really sick.
That sounds really bad. Like... I don't know what could be happening.
You should go to the doctor, get a blood test, have them do an EKG, do all that diagnostic stuff on you, because something bad is about to happen.
This sounds like the beginning of a horror movie, isn't it? Like, he's about to get haunted, or a witch cursed him or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, something like that.
That's seriously bad juju.
Go to your nearest spiritual healer. Get the curse busted, right?
Because ravens are pretty smart. They don't just die. Yeah. Like,
and also, ravens are like the omen bird, right?
Right.
It's like, if any bird was like a bad omen, it's a raven.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're jet black. Batsnacks, who's our sponsor today?
Our sponsor today is Jet Black Raven Corp.
When you want something done right, call.
Auto detailing.
It's like a car thing, right? Or something. What?
Yeah.
I'm getting the fender bender called Jet Black Raven Corp. Remember when you're feeling kind of blue.
Turn up the hue on your monitor.
On your color. Yeah, there you go. Good night, everyone. Drive safely.
See you later.
Bye.